Oh, what a good day of worship. What a good day. And you know, the choir has space for you. The celebration choir has space for you. The little Levites has space for your children. The children's choir has space as well. There's a place for you to sing. So if God's put that on your heart, let me know or Miss Christy Smith know, and we'll get you plugged in. We will get you plugged in. And we'll even let you wear one of the costumes if that's what you want to do. All right. If you have your Bible, find in it again the Gospel of Matthew in the New Testament, this time chapter 2, Matthew chapter 2, and hold your place there for a moment. We are continuing in a message series that we're calling Tis the Season, and adding to that some of the staples of Christmas, some of the things we need to be reminded of in the Christmas season, some of the things sometimes we forget about, or which Christmas overcomplicates for us. And this morning we'll consider that the Christmas season is the season to be generous. And a lot of people, even and maybe especially in our culture, whether in church or not, see Christmas that way. It's a season to give. If you watch any Hallmark Channel show, they'll remind you it's the season to give, you know, regardless of what they believe otherwise. And as a result of that, a lot of times we consider giving or being generous a seasonal activity. And that's the way our world looks at it. You know, once in a while, especially at Christmas time, we go out, we give gifts, we give to charities, we donate to causes, and that means that it's seasonal generosity. I was reminded of that this week. You may have read that Belk Corporation, the Belk stores, decided that the Salvation Army would no longer be permitted to have their bell ringers and buckets outside of Belk stores during the Christmas season. Belk was purchased not long ago, a new management for the corporation, and for this Christmas they denied the Salvation Army access to their doors and their stores with the bell ringers. And the reason for it was, they said, they wanted to go a different direction with their social consciousness. They didn't define what that meant, probably because it didn't mean anything, but they said that's what they wanted to do. Well, as soon as that announcement came, the internet lit up. There was even a hashtag boycott Belk that hit Twitter. Angry people all over America because the Salvation Army bell ringers would not be permitted at the doors of Belk stores. Not surprisingly, Belk relented. They gave in. Kind of said, oh, we were just kidding. And let the Salvation Army back at their doors for this Christmas. But you know, generosity is not generosity if you're coerced to do it. And generosity is not generosity if you do it to appease other people. Generosity is giving from the heart, and by definition, it's sacrificial. And the problem with thinking of generosity as a seasonal activity is God wants you and me to understand that generosity, sacrificial giving, should be a habit of the heart. If we are followers of Christ, we are mimicking God in Jesus Christ when we give sacrificially and we give generously. The Bible even says that God gives His grace to you lavishly. In other words, generously. The Bible says that if you ask for wisdom, you pray to God for wisdom, God gives it to you generously. Because that's how God gives. When God gives, He's not stingy. He gives generously. And followers of Christ should develop a habit of the heart of giving generously and sacrificially to mimic God in Jesus Christ. I'm so proud of you as a church. You are a giving and generous church. You see our Lottie Moon Christmas offering goal. The reason our goal is what it is, our goal was lower than that last year, but we so exceeded the goal last year that we went up a little bit. You'll exceed it again this year. You blessed Kenya's pastors. Many of you gave money to buy suits for the graduates of the theological college in Kenya. You gave far more than we were anticipating. God bless you. Thank you for that. Pastor Mike was telling me earlier this morning, you've already given everything that's needed for the angel tree gifts. God bless you. Well done. Good for you. Good for you. Last week, you gave a wonderful offering for the toy store ministry through the Brunswick Association. Good for you. That generosity, that sacrificial giving, mimics God in Jesus Christ. However, it's not just seasonal. It should be a habit of the heart. This morning, we're going to consider one of the better known stories in all of the Bible, let alone in the Christmas story, and see in that what it means and how we can develop a generous giving. In Matthew chapter 2 is the story of the Magi. We often consider them the three kings that came to Bethlehem to see Jesus when Jesus was born. Matthew records this event. So look there with me in Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And this is what Matthew says. He says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him.' When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them where the Christ would be born. 'In Bethlehem of Judea,' they told him, 'because this is what was written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, report back to me so that I too can go and worship him.' After hearing the king, they went on their way, and there it was, the star they had seen at its rising. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route." The story of the Magi is actually the story of three groups of people who have similar things in common, and they represent something very important for the Christmas story. The three groups of people are obviously the Magi, or the wise men, as we read it, King Herod, not so much a group, but an individual, and then often overlooked, the third group of the story are the chief priests and the scribes. The story of the Magi coming to Bethlehem is preserved for us by God to teach one basic but powerful lesson. Because the Magi are what the Bible refers to as Gentiles, non-Jews. But they come all the way to Bethlehem to find the newborn king, the Messiah of God, and as we saw, they worshiped him. The purpose of the story is to teach that Christ came into the world at Bethlehem for all people, and the response should be to worship him. This is so significant, we're going to revisit it 2 weeks on Christmas Eve. But also within the story, there are some valuable lessons we can learn and apply to our lives, and one of those is considering generosity, the very act of sacrifice and giving displayed by the Magi themselves in contrast to the other two groups, Herod and the chief priests and scribes. So the Magi are going to be our representatives this morning of what it means to be generous in responding to Christ, in responding to God, and reflecting the generosity of Christ in our own lives. How is it that we can be generous? And how do we develop a habit of generosity? And if we have a habit of generosity, what does that look like? Here are men who traveled months. They were most likely from Persia, the eastern area above Palestine, and it would have taken them months to get ready and months to get there. They demonstrate generosity in their time. They demonstrate generosity, obviously, in their giving, gold, frankincense, myrrh, valuable things for them to bring to the newborn king. In their planning, in their selfless attitude, they're giving up months to go visit this king of the Jews. See, generosity is not just about money. It's about choices we make, self-sacrificing choices of time, of prayer, of phone calls, of cards, of money, of effort, of resources, whatever it is God puts on our heart, in order to mimic the generosity of Christ, we give of ourselves to do so. So what can we learn about a habit of generosity? Going beyond being seasonal generosity, a habit of generosity from the heart in our lives. Look at this with me. Now, there are a few lessons, or we'll call them ingredients, of generosity that we see in the lives of the Magi demonstrated in this story. So look at this with me, and let's consider how we can develop a habit of generosity. First, to have a habit of generosity, we need to be watchful. Be watchful. In short, they were paying attention, and probably paying attention for most of their lives. They had read and studied the Jewish prophecies. They knew that when the newborn king came into the world in Palestine or wherever it was, that there would be a star that they could follow, that they would see that star. They understood the scriptures, they understood the signs, and they were paying attention. It's just that simple. Let's contrast them to the scribes and the chief priests. A lot of times when we read this story, we sort of zip right by verse 4. And Herod called together, notice this, all of the chief priests. These are the people who should know the Jewish scriptures better than anybody else. All the chief priests and the scribes, and he brings them together. And he asked them if the Magi are correct in their interpretation of their own Bible. And they say, oh yeah, yeah, the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. Here's the prophecy that tells us that specifically. Oh yes, absolutely. See, they had a lot of knowledge. They had zero expectation that it would actually happen. The Magi had a lot of knowledge, filled with expectation that it would actually happen. That's the difference. Both of them had the same information, but only one group of men were actually watchful. What's interesting about all these men, Herod, the scribes, the chief priest, and the Magi, is they share in common basically the same demographic. They were wealthy and well-educated. All of them were. They were in positions of power. All of them were. But only one group was paying attention. They were looking for what God was doing, and they were looking for God to give them the opportunity to be generous. They had been expecting it. They'd been watching for it. They'd been waiting for it. See, people, if we are paying attention as the people of God to what God is doing, we're going to expect God to call us to be generous, to participate with Him in sacrificial generosity. Why? Because that's God. That's how He is. That's what He does. So we should be looking for God to be at work around us in people's lives and expecting God to give us opportunities to be generous, to be kind, to be sacrificial toward others. And when we start being watchful, God will give us those opportunities. God will bring those our way. Over the years as a pastor, I've frequently received phone calls from folks who say things like, hey, listen, we've got a job opening at our business or our company. Do you know anyone who's looking for work? Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. If I don't, I'll say, let me write that down, and I'll keep it in mind, and see if God brings somebody my way. If they do, I'll refer you. Frequently, people will call me up and say, hey, we want to give a donation to help somebody. Do you know someone in need? And sometimes, actually, more often than you might think, and some of you have done this, you'll put a card in my box. I'll come in, I'll have a card in my box anonymously, but inside that card is a gift card, for example, to Walmart. And there'll be a note to me that just says, Pastor Bob, when somebody's in need, please pass this along. I always take those and I make a note of it, or I put that in my desk drawer and I put a note on it, I tag it there, and then I just wait. Because if God is working, that means there's a need for this. And my job is to be watchful and mindful of what He's doing. And it could take a while. This week, I was pulling out some things in my desk drawer. My desk is amazingly organized. You can lose anything on it. It's just, I opened my desk drawer and I was pulling some things out, and there I found one of those notes, one of those cards with one of those Walmart gift cards. And over time, I had given several away in the same scenario I'm describing, but there was this one. I said, okay, so I pulled it up to the front. I left it at the front of the drawer, and I closed the drawer because I thought, well, there it is. So maybe there's going to be a need for it. The next day, a family walked into our church office late in the day, introduced myself, talked to them just a second. They said they were looking for some help, specifically with formula. Now, my first reaction was to do what we do as a process to help people in our community. And we always try to help people if they're in need and if we can. I started describing the process, and God reminded me as I'm standing there, excuse me, you have a way to help them right now. And I said, oh, wait, just a second. Let's just stay right here. Especially since they're looking for formula. So I went back to my desk, pulled out the Walmart card, brought it out, and gave it to them. I said, there's $50 on this card, and God's had it here for you. Now, I don't say that because I'm that great. I say that because God knew at one point that family was going to come in. His job is to provide the opportunity for generosity. My job is to watch for it. Because God wants to use you and me as a conduit for giving, as a conduit for generosity, as a conduit for sacrifice, because that's God. That's how God works. May we never be the people with all the good information, but no expectation. We know the Bible, we know how God works, we've been to Sunday school, we've been to church, we've studied all the books, we even got the Lifeway and bought a new book about God, but not a clue how He actually works. If we have the information, we need to have the expectation. God's going to show up, and He will give you an opportunity to be generous. Secondly, to develop a habit of generosity, we need to be willing. We need to be willing. Because they were willing, the Magi were watchful. The two things go together. If you say to God, I am willing to be generous on your behalf, I am willing to be sacrificial and to give to others in whatever way, whether it's resources, prayer, love, hugs, service, whatever it is, God, but I'm available to you to be generous. If you're watchful, you're willing. If you're willing, you'll become watchful. You'll have an expectation. That means there needs to be a heart of selfless giving to be willing. This was Herod's problem. Herod was absolutely unwilling to give. As a matter of fact, he was so unwilling to give, was so selfish and self-centered in all of his decisions, that he actually sought to stop those who would be generous. He tried to deceive those who would be generous. He was only thinking of himself. And someone who's only thinking of themselves can never develop a heart of generosity and willingness. There are two things to go along with the willingness to be generous. One is the willingness to sacrifice. We need to remember from a biblical point of view, what God has given us still belongs to God. We take many of our cues about our finances and our resources and our material possessions and even our time. We take many of our cues from the world, not the Bible. But the Bible teaches that the material possessions that we have actually belong to God. We are stewards of them. So if God brings somebody our way, and He desires that we hold that for a while for that person, we need to have an expectation. God wants us to be generous. God wants us to give. That's why we have had that all this time. That heart of sacrifice means that we are unselfish. The Magi themselves were sacrificial in that way. They gave up time, resources, left their homeland, did everything they needed to do to bring to Christ their worship and their gifts, to be generous. But secondly, if we're going to be willing, we also must be humble. Have you ever noticed prideful people are never generous? You ever thought about that? Prideful people are nearly never generous with their time, with their resources. Why? Because when we are prideful, we are self-centered. And when we're self-centered, it's all about us. Humble people, however, are typically generous Because, as the Bible puts it, they don't think more highly of themselves than they should. They think more of others, which is what the Bible says all believers should be doing. We should not think more highly of ourselves than is realistic. We should be thinking of others. And when we do, we are humble because we know that God saved us from our sins and we know we don't deserve it. We know that God has been generous to us with His grace, so we want to be generous to others as well. The Magi, wealthy, well-educated, had everything they needed, traveled all that way, assuming the newborn king would be born to royal parents in a palace somewhere down south in Palestine. They went to the city of David. They went to the king's city, the holy city, Jerusalem, expecting to find the newborn king there. And instead, they were rerouted to a little backwater town called House of Bread, Bethlehem. And when they arrived there, the Bible says, I'm going to come back to this in just a moment, but they went to a house and found the first family there. But regardless of the circumstances, they gave to this newborn king wealth. They were generous to him and gave him the gifts they brought to give him. They were probably surprised at his circumstances, how humble those circumstances were. But we're not surprised at the humility of their heart, because to come that far, to find the king, they just wanted to be generous to him and to give to him sacrificially. If we are watchful, we are willing. And if we are willing, we will be watchful. And to be willing, we must be sacrificial and we must be humble, because God will use us to bless the lives of others in that way. And then third, if we want to develop a habit of generosity, not just seasonal generosity, but a habit of generosity, we need to be wise. We need to be wise. The translation of the Bible I read referred to the Magi as wise men. That's why we've come to know them for generations and centuries of Christmas. They are the wise men. The word Magi translates the word that gives us our English word, magician. But in their day and time, what we would think of as a magician or the Magi is different than what it would be today. In ancient times, the Magi would have been the kind of people who were well-studied, well-educated. They were not doing illusions. They were not doing magic tricks. They were studying the world and studying the stars. They were very spiritually oriented people, although most of them would not have known the God of the Bible or the Jewish God, but they were well studied and they were spiritually oriented and they were well educated and they were quite wealthy, as we've said. But they also mixed, in the ancient world, they often mixed spirituality with science, a rudimentary kind of science about the world and nature. That's why they had that expectation that when the stars positioned themselves a certain way and that one star showed up, they were watching and they were waiting, because they believed that connection between spirituality and the earth and the stars, and they had studied it at length and they knew that that's what that was going to look like. They exercised wisdom in their application to follow their expectation. So in truth, they were wise men. They were ancient wise men for their day. We often think of, and we see this in our Christmas plays, there were three wise men. The Bible doesn't actually say there were three wise men or three magi. The word is plural, so there was more than one, but that's really all that we know. We know that they brought three gifts, so from that we have adopted the idea that there were three wise men or three magi. We also always have them show up at the manger to bring their gifts. Again, that's not necessarily bad, but notice that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says they came to a house, that Mary and Joseph were in a house in Bethlehem. See, Matthew has compressed and fast-forwarded just a bit, at least over the course of a couple of years. So the boy Jesus by this time was up to 2 years old. That's why in later story, Herod seeks out all boys 2 years and younger to have them killed. But when the Magi go to the house, it doesn't matter the circumstances. All that matters is that they have been brought there to be generous, to worship the newborn king with their actions and with their gifts. They came to do what they were asked to do. And that's exercising wisdom in generosity. Sometimes God will ask us to be generous, and then we find out who it is he wants us to be generous to. We say, now, wait a minute. You want me to help them? Or now, wait a minute. How do we know they're going to use these gifts or use this Walmart card in the right way? Let me tell you a basic principle of being a conduit for God's giving. You are only responsible for what you know, but you are always responsible for what you know. Let me say that again. You are only responsible for what you know, but you are always responsible for what you know. If what you know is that person is asking and they are in need, but you don't know how they're going to use your generosity, God has called you to be generous. That's it. Let God worry about the rest. It's not our job to inquire of every little fact of life. However, it is our job to be good stewards of what God is bringing through us. So, for example, as a church, we have an accountability process. But we try to help everybody we can. You are responsible for what you know, and you're always responsible for what you know. So the other side of wisdom is to make sure what you know aligns with what God wants to do. Did you notice what the Magi did once they found out the duplicity of Herod? Once they found out that Herod was not honest and God showed that to them, they knew they had to be responsible for what they knew, and they did not go back to Herod. They did not endanger Jesus and did not endanger themselves. Their generosity stopped right there. Their sacrifice stopped right there. Because God showed them something that said it's the better part of wisdom to stop right here. That's exercising wisdom with generosity. We are responsible for what we know, only what we know, but always what we know. And let God take care of the rest. Because He will. God has a way of working through you and me to bring about that generosity that He knows that people need. He knows that they need to see Christ through you. They need to see you and me mimic the generosity and the grace of God. They need to be reminded that life is more than suffering and heartache and sometimes poverty. They need to know there's a church full of people out there that love people just because they're people. You say, Pastor Bob, what if they try to cheat me? What if they're trying to cheat us? You're only responsible for what you know. You're always responsible for what you know. And one thing we know, regardless of that, is Jesus died for them. Right? Jesus has already been generous to them. Be a good steward. Jesus Himself said, be as wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Be a good steward of what God's given you. But remember, Jesus died for them. And what if you being generous to them is the first indication they've ever had of the generosity of the grace of God? There is a soccer team in France, a football team, soccer team to us, professional team that ordered new jerseys last fall. They are a Montpellier team, and they spell their name with two L's, Montpellier. They ordered the new jerseys, and when they unboxed the jerseys and pulled them out, Montpellier was spelled with one L. Well, they thought about that. Obviously, they got to send the jerseys back and get new jerseys, but some wise person on the team, maybe a coach, an official, a manager, I don't know, said, well, let's pause here just a minute. Maybe we can do something with misspelled jerseys. So they did a little research, and they found out there's a high school soccer team in Vermont, in the U.S., named Montpellier, spelled with one L. So they called up the coach, and they said, how would your guys like to wear professional jerseys for just a few weeks? We'll still have to have them back because we've got to send them back. But we'd like to ship you these professional jerseys for your high school soccer team just to let them wear for a few weeks. Just give them a boost. Just give them some inspiration from a professional team. The coach was absolutely blown away. And he said it did exactly that. It inspired his students, his athletes, to play that much better. High school soccer team wearing professional team jerseys. When the Magi came to Bethlehem, whether they realized it or not, they were enacting a basic principle of generosity and God's grace. That when God is gracious to you and me and to everyone that He's gracious to, and we accept that grace, God is reminding us who we are. Who we are in Christ, who He made us to be, who He sees us to be. And God is reminding us that our circumstances do not dictate who we are. Our circumstances, no matter how wealthy or poor, no matter how strong or weak, no matter how educated or uneducated, our circumstances do not dictate who we are. God dictates who we are. God is the one that sent Christ to die on the cross for us. God is the one who is generous with His grace because God designed us, made us, and loves us. God is the one that defines who we are. And when God is generous to us with grace, He reminds us of that fact. He is that generous with grace to everyone who asks. And when you and I mimic the grace of God in Jesus Christ, the generosity of God in Jesus Christ, you know what we're doing? We are showing up and saying, it matters who you are. No matter your circumstances do not dictate who you are to God or who you are to me or who you are to Christ. God decides that, and God designed you, and God created you, and you are well worth the grace of God, and my generosity demonstrates that. Kings, royalty, magi, wise men, call them what you like, they left their palace, traveled months to bow their knee to a baby and his teenage parents and give them gold, frankincense, and myrrh, a reminder always preserved in Scripture. That we recognize the greatness of someone when we are generous to them in the name of God. And God did that for you in Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. God did that for you in Jesus Christ. When you look at your nativity at home, you remind yourself, God is generous with His grace. He made me, He loves me, and my circumstances this Christmas do not dictate or define who I am. That does. God does. And He came for me in Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, You are that good and gracious to us. May we be that good and gracious to one another and to others. But God, how I pray this Christmas, that message would get through to every person sitting here, that God, You sent Jesus Christ for us. You sent Your Son, You sacrificed Him to be generous in Your grace, to be lavish with Your love. And Father, how I pray that we would receive that love again this Christmas. We would receive that grace again this Christmas. We would remember what You've done for us again this Christmas. Father, how I pray for that person in here who needs to be reminded of that, but also needs to embrace the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Maybe this is the Christmas. This is the season. To say, God, You've been generous to me just because You love me. To receive that grace, that generosity in Jesus Christ. To be saved this Christmas, to be changed this Christmas. To live in the love of God. Father, make us generous people. May we mimic the grace of God in Christ, but also, God, how I pray we remember the grace of God in Christ that You brought to us. Father, some need to respond this morning. We may need to respond in prayer from the depth of our heart, God. We may need to ask Your forgiveness for a lack of generosity and a lot of selfishness in our lives. God, forgive us for that. But God, we may need to respond by coming to the cross. We may need to respond, God, by receiving Christ as our Savior, by coming to the altar and praying, God. We may need to respond this morning, Father, by wholly and wholeheartedly surrendering all to you, God. So God, I pray for all of us, we would respond to Christ as you're calling us to today. We would do what you're calling us to in that response, God. Speak to us, change us, shape us, Father, make us more like Jesus. And God, I pray we would bring our fears to you, our cares to you, our worries to you. God, we would bring the uncertainty of the new year coming up to you and the struggles of the past year. God, we would bring all of that to you. That God, we would trust you.